Good morning. Is this on? Can you hear me? Yeah. Can you hear me now? We are in the book of Romans. It's one of my favorite epistles written by Paul because he explains the why of what God has done. And you remember Paul was a Jew, he was a Pharisee, and he said after his salvation experience, originally he went to Arabia for 2 years, and I really believe that's so the Lord could unteach him all those things he thought he was so sure that he knew about, and teach him the truth about the gospel and why God did what he did. We're going to be in the 8th chapter again today. We're going to be talking about God's everlasting love. And you need to remember, at this time, the church was being persecuted by the Orthodox Jews, and the Romans were beginning to persecute the church. So this is the reason that Paul has included this in his letter to them, talking about God's love. And I think as Christians, we need to be reminded of it. Pardon me. We need to be reminded of God's love, especially in the hard times. Because that is when our enemy will strike. Jesus said he's like a roaring lion going around looking for someone to devour. Satan will always attack it at our weak times. There's no point in him coming against us when we're standing strong and we're convinced. But it's when we start having the hard times, and sometimes our faith gets a little weak, and we begin to question God, you know, why this is going on, that's when he likes to attack. So just keep in mind, when all this letter is being written, Paul's wanting to go to Spain, and he's hoping the church can help him on his way, and he's never been to the church in Rome. Other proselytes, Jewish Christians, started the church, and they heard of Paul, and he's writing to them, and he talked about the sinfulness of man, the faithfulness of God, why God gave the law. God had a covenant with Abraham 450 years before the law ever came into play, and that was the covenant he was honoring. And today, he's going to talk about God's love in our weak times, in our time of suffering. The text this morning is Romans 8, 31 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank you, Father, that your word never returns to you void. You said, like the snow and the rain that you send upon the land, that your word will accomplish the purpose you have sent it for. I thank you for those who have come together this morning to listen to your word. I ask, Lord, that your spirit will be among us. I know that he's in us, But I ask also, Lord, that he will be among us, that he will open our ears to hear and our eyes to see the truth that we have. And what an encouragement we have this morning from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We walk by faith. And I know saying that, you'll say, well, yeah, you know, we know we walk by faith. But sometimes we forget we walk by faith. But the faith of the Christian is not blind faith. I've had people tell me that, you know, I don't want to be a Christian. I'm not going to blindly follow this God. Well, whoever told you it was blind hasn't read the word. You see, Paul said the word was written for our encouragement and our warning. He told Timothy to use the word to encourage, to rebuke, to build up. So our faith is not blind. I dare say the only people that the faith of the Christian is blind to are those who are not Christians or those who claim to be and they're ignorant of God's word. They just don't spend time in the word. They're too busy. Paul, in this epistle we read last week, that he told the church, there's no condemnation now for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I got sidetracked last week. I don't apologize for that, because there was somebody here that needed that, and they came and rededicated their lives to Christ. So praise the Lord. Paul said last week, we're not under any condemnation, those of us who believe. And that Greek word, I keep telling you this, and I'll tell you to the day I step out of this pulpit, it means more than a head belief. James said, demons believe in Jesus and they tremble. The Amplified Bible, according to some of the Greek scholars, says, in fear that makes a man's hair stand on end. Some of you have not ever been in a situation like that. Some of you have. And you know what that means, to have your hair standing on end. And Paul said to the church, he said, we're not condemned. We were under the law. He had to spend about four chapters talking about why we're not under the law and what God's intention of the law was. And I told you last week that many times people today still, I have heard this come out of their mouths, when I stand before the judgment seat, God will weigh my good against my bad, and if my good outweighs my bad, I'll go to heaven, and I think my good will outweigh my bad because I'm not a bad person. Well, according to the law, you are a bad person. Paul said God gave that law to show us how sinful sin was. And in the 7th chapter of Romans, Paul spoke of his own struggle as a Pharisee whose heart's desire was to keep God's law, because he knew that when he didn't keep it, he dishonored God. And he said, I find with me that when I want to do good, evil is right there. And the good that I want to do, I don't do it. But the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I do. Paul said, the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold as a slave to sin. That's why I never have believed that Paul's talking as a Christian. And I've heard the 7th chapter preached like, see, Christian, even Paul struggled with sin. Paul was talking about before he was a Christian. And he ended that chapter, that section of the letter, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Thank God through Jesus Christ. You see, Paul, then he comes into the present for him. And now I know Jesus Christ. He has delivered me from this body of sin. This body is going to die because of sin, but God has promised that he will raise that body. The Lord Jesus Christ promised that he will raise these bodies and we'll be given a glorified body, the saints. Now, last week we read where he told the church, there is therefore now no condemnation. There's no law there. And when there is no law, God doesn't impute sin. And he talks in between there and where we are this morning. He talks about suffering. He talks about the Christian suffering for Christ. And that's not what people want to hear today. I've never heard any of the TV preachers that I can remember ever preach a message about suffering for Christ. Jesus told his men before he left, he said, if the world hates me, it's going to hate you. And I told the Lord more once, you don't give a very good recruiting poster. Come follow me, and you may be hated by a lot of people, including some of those in your own family. In fact, Jesus told his men that the gospel was not to bring peace. He said, I didn't come here to bring peace. I came here to cause division. Is Jesus saying he's a troublemaker? He says, no, but the story about me is going to cause a lot of trouble on this earth. He said, families will divide over it. Parents will hate children. Children will hate parents. That's suffering. Have you ever been persecuted for your faith? Have you ever been talked ugly about because you stand by the truth? Think about that. Jesus said, if you have, you're blessed. Because that's how they treated the prophets, the true prophets who were before you. And when you read the history in the Old Testament, God would send prophets and say, tell them I said this. And they were always outnumbered by the false prophets who said, that's a lie, this is what God says. And the false prophets usually won out. But they kept proclaiming God's word. Jesus said, blessed are you, and men will revile you and speak all manner of evil against you for my sake. Be glad. One translation says, jump for joy, because great is your reward in the kingdom of heaven. I'm asking you this morning, don't raise your hands, don't answer the question. Think about this. Have you ever been spoken evil of because you spoke the truth? Well, now, brother, I don't want to cause waves. Jesus did. Everywhere he went, he stirred people up. Am I saying a Christian is supposed to be an offensive, antagonistic person? No. Why is Paul talking about this comfort this morning, this encouragement? Because he's also talked in the middle of this chapter about the suffering. He says the church is being persecuted at this time by the Jews and by Rome. And Paul is reminding the church today, he's saying, look at what God has brought us through and brought us to. You see, the enemy likes to get in your face when things go bad and say, I thought you was a child of God. Boy, if he treats your children like that, I'd hate to see how he treats an enemy. Where's your God? Why are you struggling? Why are you depressed? And he knows that those are the best times to hit us when we're at our weakest time. And Paul today is reminding the church of what God has done for us. Let me get my eyes back on. He said, if God can be for us, who'll be against us? That's a true statement. If God is for the church, who can stand against the church? No one. No one. Paul said earlier that God has done what the law couldn't do because of the weakness of sinful flesh. He did by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. What does all that mean? Well, in another place, Paul said that God nailed the law to the cross through the body of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's building up here. This is from the 8th chapter. He said, look, God, the Word, became God the Son, Jesus the Christ. And he came to this earth, and it was God's will that he would die for men and women, for the whole world. In Hebrews, he says, because the children are flesh and blood, he too partook of the same. It was a man who brought death and sin into the world. It had to be a man who would bring righteousness in. God's very just. And when God the Word became the man and he humbled himself as a servant, he did even to death on the cross. He died for our sins, and it made it safe for God to forgive those, no matter what they've done, who believe in him. Because the wages of sin is death, that was put on his son. So Paul starts out saying, look, if God's for us, who's going to be against us? Earlier he said he didn't spare his son. And yet, very often when I come into trials, I begin to question God, are you mad? Have I done something wrong? Would you tell me if there's something I need to do? And the whole time God's saying, no, I'm not mad at you. I don't find any fault in you.
Oh, that's presumptuous, brother.
No, I'm telling you what the Word says. If you are a Christian and you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, God says, when I look at you, I don't see any fault in you. This isn't hyper grace. I'm not going that direction. Because as Christians, we still sin, and we still need to ask for forgiveness, and we still need to go back to the cross and confess our sins. Some preachers have it now that since Christ died for you and your sins are forgiven, that's past, present, future, you don't ever have to pray for forgiveness. That is a dangerous doctrine for you to follow. It will make you arrogant and presumptuous. And it can cause you to go into a lifestyle of sin and justify it by saying, well, my sins are already forgiven. Paul is talking to a church here that started to experience some persecution for their faith. And the accuser will get up there in your face and say, I thought God was on your side. Man, you must have done something wrong. I told you in one message, God will never tempt you to do wrong, to sin, but he will test you. That's all through his word. Israel wandered in the desert for 3 days without water. And they said, did God bring us out here to kill us? And Moses threw his hand up and said, Lord, they're about ready to stone me. What are you doing? And God said, I'm testing them. He said, Moses, strike that rock. I said, the rock opened up and a river came out of it. Enough water to feed 600,000 plus people, plus their livestock. That was a river. And God told Moses, I will test you to see what's in you. And here Paul is talking to the church. He said, look, think about it. God gave his son for our sins. A God that will do that, do you think he's going to stop right there? No. No. Paul said that while we were God's enemies, he sent his son at just the right time to die for us in this same epistle. And he said, if God did that while we were his enemies, how much more will he save us when we become his children? Now I'm paraphrasing that. How much more when we come to Christ will God save us? He who put out such an effort to save those who would believe, Paul saying, he ain't going to leave you hanging. Paul knew what he was talking about. I read his resume in Corinthians. The Corinthians had these false apostles coming and saying, Paul's not really an apostle. Man, he doesn't even charge you money to preach. You know, something's wrong with this guy. And when Paul gives his resume, I often read it and think, I don't know that Paul could preach in any church today and be a good standing. Number one, all those letters he wrote, he was sitting in prison. You know, where's your pastor? Our pastor's doing time over there in the Roman penitentiary. Oh, what a godly man. Paul said, I've been stoned. 3 times I've received 40 stripes minus the one. I've been scourged. I've been shipwrecked. He said, I go hungry, I've been cold, I've been naked, I've been in danger.
What a resume. Most churches would say, we don't want a pastor like that. He's going to cause trouble. Look at him everywhere he goes. He gets in trouble. He gets in trouble with the law. People get so mad at him, they stone him. People in town sometimes say, how's things going at the church? I said, if you ever drive by and see a big pile of rocks out there, start moving some because I might be under them. You know, as long as you don't see that big pile of rocks out there, things are going okay. Paul knew what he was talking about. In his trial, when he was condemned, you read about it in the second epistle of Timothy. That's a heartbreaking letter to me. And what really gets to me, he said, Timothy, you know that everyone in Asia has turned their backs on me. These churches in Asia, whom Paul put his blood, sweat, and tears into, who love them, as he said to the Corinthians, as a nurse loves her children. And Paul said, I keep opening my heart wider and wider to you people. Paul invested a lot of time in those churches in Asia. Paul stood against false doctrine that was coming in, and he suffered because of it. And he said, Timothy, at my defense, I stood alone. But I wasn't alone. He said, at my defense, at my trial, nobody from any of the churches came to my side to strengthen me and aid me in that time. But he said, God was there. Did he see God standing there? No, he knew God was there. That's what we call walking by faith. God said, I'll never leave you alone. Jesus Christ told the disciples, I will not leave you alone till the end of time, till the end of the age. I'll never leave you alone. See, that's what we call walking by faith, and it's not blind because he says it in the Word. You ought to read the Word sometime, Christians. Paul said, if God's for us, who's going to be against us? And again, he said, who's going to condemn us? Jesus Christ, who died. More than that, who has been raised and he's at the Father's right hand, interceding for us. Interceding means pleading our case, pleading our cause, because the writer of Hebrews says that he, being a man, has suffered temptation just like we have. He suffered trials. The writer of Hebrews says he offered prayers with strong tears and crying. The Son of God. And Jesus had it made. He was God's Son. He was also his servant. He also lived a life just like you and I live on this earth. He also suffered. Isaiah said, a man familiar with suffering. That's more than suffering a little bit. Jesus was persecuted everywhere he went. He'd preach. And the theologians of his day would get up and say, hey, wait a minute, boy. Who gave you the authority to say that? You haven't been to our cemeteries. You don't have one of our degrees. We don't recognize your authority to preach. And it's by demons you're doing these miracles. How would you like to have that following you around? But Jesus, the Bible says, he despised the shame of the cross. His eyes were set on the prize. Because the Father promised, I'm going to glorify you. But there's no crown without a cross. I hear Christians today, and they got songs now about the crown. I'm going to wear the crown. Well, you are if you carry the cross. There's no crown without the cross. No exceptions, Christians. You see, Paul speaking to a church here that is suffering. And he said, God's not against you. He's on your side. Look at what he's done for us. These trials that he names. He says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? Paul, he is speaking the reality they're in. Persecution, danger, famine. The Romans were confiscating their goods. They took the food out of your refrigerator and took the refrigerator. You want to be one of them people? Well, you just go out there and forage and rip for anything you can find. Paul said, does that mean that God's against us? No. I like what Paul says. To me, that means we're more than conquerors. Some of us could stand to go without eating for a few days. Yes, I'm including myself. I have wondered in my own mind, if I, by circumstance, were to end up homeless and end up living on a city street somewhere, sleeping in a cardboard box, eating out of dumpsters, would I still be faithful to Jesus Christ? I've even wondered if God told me, I want you to live on the street, eat out of dumpsters, sleep in a cardboard box, and tell the homeless how much I love them. Can I at least have a kerosene heater? You know, that'd be some of my questions. Are you going to point me to the dumpsters that got the good food in them? God said, no. Would you do it? There's a preacher named Larry Rice. He used to have a show on. Him and his congregation would go to the east side of St. Louis. And if you ever been over there, that's not the good side of St. Louis. And they'd go out there in the middle of the night, and they'd find drunks and heroin addicts and whatnot sleeping on the street, and they'd invite them to their shelter. And they'd share the love of Jesus Christ with these people. Who's more apt to listen? The person that you fed, or somebody you just said, you need Jesus, and you never showed any kind of affection, never showed the love of the Lord? Paul's saying, Rome, church at Rome, are you going to quit? He acknowledges what's going on. But he said, don't you remember in the scriptures it's read, for your sake we're counted as sheep to be slaughtered. Oh, that wasn't in the package deal when I went forward and said the sinner's prayer. That preacher didn't say nothing about getting slaughtered. No, and they usually won't. Paul's quoting from the Psalms. And David is singing a praise. And he praises God for this fact, that for your sake, we're counted like sheep to be slaughtered. Paul said, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. You see, when Jesus ascended, before he ascended, in John 17, in his high priestly prayer, he says, Father, I don't ask that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. We live in enemy territory. You know, you've heard people talk about being behind enemy lines. We're right in the heart of enemy territory. So, they're not going to treat us very kindly. Some will. Jesus said, those who will listen to me will listen to you. I liked, the only musical I ever liked was Fiddler on the Roof. I just love that musical. I had it somewhere. But when the matchmaker is talking to Rebetalia's wife, and she said, if God lived on the earth, people throw rocks through his window. Amen. I don't know why in the church we get it in our heads that we don't want to cause trouble. We don't want to draw attention to ourselves. We do need to draw attention to Jesus Christ through the way we live and the way we act. But Paul says to the church, look, you're going to suffer. He told the elders at Ephesus, you will suffer. And some of the worst persecutors are going to be those that come out of your own church. Wolves, Paul called them. Jesus said, wolves dress like sheep. Paul said, I'm convinced that nothing in heaven or on earth will ever separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Do you have that assurance? He's talking to the church. He's not talking to unbelievers. And I talk to people that, well, I read the Bible and you know, it says that God's love will never die for us, that nothing will separate us from that love. And I believe that, so I'm okay. No. Have you come to God and said, I am a sinner. I deserve the punishment that's waiting for me. But since you already took my place, would you forgive me? And would you save me? And then he puts you in this category. But I'll be honest with you. Being a Christian is not always a path of roses and joy. A lot of tribulation, a lot of trials. And one thing you need to remember is that God allows these to shape our character, to make us more like Jesus. I read somewhere that Mother Teresa said, God will only allow to come upon us what we can stand up under. And she said, but sometimes I wish he didn't trust us so much. The farther you go with Christ, sometimes the more intense the storms are, as Brother Mark talked about and Doc sang about. But God's doing it to build character. That's why Jesus said, those who endure to the end will be saved. There's a lot we have to endure as Christians. I believe I'll live to see persecution of the church in this country. I just have a feeling I'm going to get to see that. And my prayer is, God, that I'll have the boldness to stand and still preach your word when that's going on. Would you stand with me this morning? What a God we have. In this epistle alone, Paul tells us the Holy Spirit prays for you. Jesus is praying for you. And God loves you so much, he sent Jesus to die for your sins. How can we not trust a God like that with our lives? How come we won't lay stuff at his feet and say, I totally trust you? When you've already believed for one of the biggest miracles is your salvation. And I struggle with that. How come I could trust God to save my soul, but the rest of my life I think is in my power and control when it's not? Not if I'm his child. If you need to come to Christ, come on up here and sit down and we'll talk. If you would like to place membership in this church, if you are a immersed believer in Jesus Christ and you want to join the roll, then come forward as we sing the song of invitation.
Come out of sadness wherever you've been. Come broken hearted, let the rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. So lay down your burden, lay down your chain. All who are broken, lift up your face. Wander, come home, you're not too far. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all who have strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste their grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can pour. Lay down your burden, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Wanderer, come home, for you're not too far. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are. Fall in his arms, come as you are. There's joy in the morning, oh sinner be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Lay down your burdens, oh, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Wander, come home, you're not too far. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are.
Praise the Lord. Deming and Jackie are both immersed believers in Christ, and they would like to place membership in this church. So I ask you at the end of the service, come up and offer them the right hand of fellowship. We have a praise report. Desiree's coming home Monday. Yeah, that's a miracle. That is a miracle. God answers prayer. All right. Amen. God answers prayer. He sure does. Any requests you want to make known? As John did earlier, I want to thank all the people, the men and women that helped at this men's fellowship and cooked and gave us their time and set these chairs out. Thank Doc for heading that up. It was very successful. And it's always nice when you see God's people get together and work like this. So I appreciate it. Maxine? Okay, Maxine would like us to pray for her mother. She was here visiting a while back and has decided she wants to move down here. So be praying that the Lord will provide a way for that. Anything else? Whoever has the closing prayer, Doc, would you please close for us?
Father, again, we just thank you for what we have today. And Lord, we just ask you to be with all those that are here today through the week, that they have a good week. And Father, just spread the word of Jesus Christ. And Father, we just thank you so much for the service today and the preaching with Rick. And Lord, we know that we have two new members of the church here today, and we just want to bless them and give them the praise that we know that we can. Father, we just ask you to follow each one of us this week. Keep us in your prayers, Father, and we just ask, thank you so much for the good news that we've had. And we just pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ecclesiastes, it's been a good study. More pain and suffering. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for you. I'm glad we found my Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. Glory to God.